They say it's between 4 and 8 times you see a brand before you make a first purchase. And if you're launching something, you know, now by 2025, it's a new game for brand awareness and your digital strategy and all these points.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. I'm Shuang Esther Shan, your host here at Shopify Masters, and this is your companion for starting and scaling your business. Today, we are joined by a true game changer in the pet industry. William Smolin took his expertise from building a beauty brand to create a premium pet care company that treats her dogs with the same care we treat ourselves. In less than 2 years, Wagwell has created its own category, pet wellness, bringing human-grade standards to everything they make. Bill's visionary leadership has brought to light products pet parents didn't even know they needed. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So happy to have you here. You had extensive experience in beauty, which inspired Wagwell. Tell me about that moment where you knew this would be a great business idea.
So I used to work with one of the largest contract cosmetics manufacturers for many of the world's most recognizable makeup artists and luxury beauty brands. And some of my team now also had come from there. And we're really working on the latest innovation of skincare and tech-driven ingredients and know how to build products. We're thinking about clean ingredients, the future, sort of the best way to make the best thing possible. And simultaneously, my pug is itching and eating bad kibble. There's problems. We're going to veterinarians and other experts, and we're not getting the results that we need or any answer. It was all very opaque. And I just felt like, gosh, it could be so much better in that space. It's similar ingredients and similar manufacturing processes in ways. And I just felt like there was so much room for improvement. So I'd always wanted to innovate in the pet space. That was a while ago. It would take more time before we were able to make Wagwell come to fruition. But I'm so thankful I was even able to bring some of the team who initially wanted to do that onto this brand.
Yeah. I mean, it has been a long period of thoughtful innovation and also preparation and development. So I believe it was 1.5 years. Walk us through the process you took to differentiate each product and understanding the industry before you were ready to launch.
Well, we did a lot of research, as anyone should before launching a brand and landing on that product category. We launched in supplements, which is not the sexiest thing. And I always say it's usually a vehicle for licensing celebrity. And there is power in them if they're messaged in the proper format. But we found this incredible ingredient called ahi flower oil, which is a plant-based omega source that gives you good omega 3, 6, and 9. Oftentimes, this is used as like a fish or salmon oil. But a lot of that is sort of not really an ideal format for the way there's overfishing, the smell of it. 0.5% of the fish is used in the actual production and results. We just felt like we had this incredible ingredient and wanted to formulate a line of best-in-class supplements using that as the omega source. Purina had owned the rights in the horse space. We were bringing that to dog in the first brand to it. We knew there was value there, and we wanted to meet the customer where they were to build upon supplements in a way and market them differently, because they are valuable when it's part of a larger, healthy, sustainable diet. It's not an antibiotic, and it won't sort of fix. But without going too much detail on supplements, it was important that we work with veterinary nutritionists, food scientists, and real experts to kind of make what I say is the best cocktail possible for each of these. If we're an unknown brand coming to the market, I wanted to address a space where we felt there was room for improvement to offer something for the pet and pet parent that we knew would be superior. So that's where we started. But the whole point was to innovate across product category to build that trusted brand. You don't really see that if you walk into some of the larger pet stores. It's a lot of disparate brands that do one thing specifically. And it was important to us to build Wagwell as a trusted source. So while we launched in supplements, we then added treats, and now we're working on food, and we're in grooming, and working across product category, with the main underlier being product innovation, where if we can't make something better or different from what's on the market, we're not going to do so. So it was interesting to start from scratch. It's a great opportunity on a new brand. But even some of, you know, when you do that research, where you think you're going to land will be different. And that's part of the beauty of it. But I'm really lucky to have top product developers and scientists working with us. It's not just my idea of something I'm making in a bathtub. I think if you're going to build a modern brand today, You have to start with a product that's, I believe, superior, but you can't fully rely upon that, right? So not having being licensed by a celebrity, it was really important to us that we come out of the gate with differentiated, worthwhile product.
So cool to hear how thoughtful you are about the process, and you're truly thinking about the whole lifestyle of a pet and trying to enhance it in every way possible through these products. And I understand, you know, money is a barrier for a lot of entrepreneurs, especially when it involves a lot of researching and product development. For your journey, though, you were able to work with a family office and build trust and bring them on board to invest in Wagwell before launch. Talk to us about developing that relationship.
I didn't know them from anyone else prior to working together, but we met for many, many months to make sure that this would be the right fit. And I'm very thankful to have that investment because when you look at building not only Shopify, but any omnichannel brand from scratch, there are so many components required to add that legitimacy, right? You know, every time they say it's between 4 and 8 times you see a brand before you make a first purchase. And if you're launching something, you know, now by 2025, it's a new game for brand awareness and your digital strategy and all these points. So I'm really thankful to have had that investment beforehand so we could lay out what a proper launch strategy would look like. It takes a lot of time. And, you know, it's important that I'm there to manage the expectations and deliver upon what we say we will. And you know, the world's changing bit by bit, and I think that's the only constant, right? So it's been really exciting, and I'm very thankful for it. But it was imperative to be able to launch something as specific as, you know, starting in supplements or the food we're building. It'd be one thing if I had a nice treat that I made from scratch that I could bake on my own. But a lot of what we're building with Wagwell is about ingredient innovation. A lot of ex-beauty and consumer packaged goods executives, we've come together to bring what I'm calling our human beauty standards to the pet space through innovative ingredients, superior manufacturing, and testing to support claims. All of that requires time and money, but the result is a really good product that, you know, takes time to put together that you're going to build upon. So separate from any marketing strategy, you need to start with that marrow, and it took time to build that. So I do have a single funded source of a family office, which is really helpful. Of course, I'm on a very tight leash, as anyone is building a new brand, but it does give us that opportunity where, you know, if a big retail opportunity comes up or whatever digital aspect, there are resources to help scale and build that. And it's tough for any entrepreneur. I have many friends raising money for brands. It's a terrifying time for that right now. And we'll probably end up doing so later on as well. But this has allowed us an opportunity to sort of, you know, prove the path and plan and make noise. You know, we launched, 15 months ago? It's every brand you're wearing has probably existed for at least 5 years, right? It takes time to get that together. And we've had a really great initial year, and we're really optimistic about where we're going. But it's been necessary to have that investment to be able to deliver on the product and make that.
Well, the fact that you were able to secure this relationship with this family office and have them trust you to innovate for 1.5 years before launching, I think that is a reflection of your experience, your expertise, and also how you are building a brand.
Thank you. I mean, it's really been quite a process. I think you go into something with good intentions, and I get along with them. I'm so thankful. We have a great relationship, but it's real money being spent, and people who want that back, they have growth expectations that are completely necessary. And you kind of have to go there and work through it all together. I always say to my team, we have nothing to hide. Let's show the process and what's required, and let's be open to changing that where appropriate. That doesn't mean run around. It just means, you know, respond to the environment. It's easy to have that revisionist history after the fact of, I coulda, shoulda, woulda done whatever, but you only have the resources you have and the options in the moment. You don't want to muddy the waters about what you could or could not do. You need to, you know, do the research, look at the data, align with the team, and make a decision and own that narrative. And it's really tough to build a brand, right? A lot of venture capital, a lot of private equity investors, a lot of angel investors, they all have different needs of how to go about doing so, right? And it's important to solve for your DTC. That's getting really expensive. People push to Amazon. Omnichannel is necessary, but at the right growth point. I could go off for hours, but, you know, and each retailer wants you to have big social and DTC. Venture wants you in a single format channel to prove a process. If you answer all of them right away from the beginning, the result will fail. So you kind of need to work at what's right for you and take opportunities to improve upon everything to build that story. So it's not easy. And I was saying, I last launched my old beauty brand, 13 years ago? And it's easy to have that selective amnesia for how difficult it is. I love the building. I love the newness and putting that together and seeing how it's all connected. That to me is the most fun part of running a business. And when you're smaller, you're able to see those differences and how it affects everything. So to me, it's a lot of fun, but it's also an incredible amount of work and risk. And, you know, new brands, no one wants to deal with. They need to know that you're going to really be somewhere, right? So it's traveling every week to manufacturers in different places around the country to build and convince and put together. And I'm so thankful to have a good team of experienced people who've done it. So I think we have a shorthand and we're on the same wavelength, and there's a general understanding that I think has allowed us to move more quickly. But you look at the headwinds and it's pretty crazy right now to be able to build anything. And again, remember, these brands were never designed to be profitable and work right away. So you kind of have to like bend processes and stuff to find the best way through, through everyone's expectations. And at the end of the day, I know we have real growth. We have really great product and good reviews. And it all comes back to these simple ideas of building that community and, you know, working with the customer. We were really intentional about launching Wagwell quietly as its own brand and then building in through that, because we know it's a marathon and not a sprint. It may have helped to have one big celebrity at the beginning, but again, with the type of product we're making, it's ingestible. If it's innovative food or treats or supplements, you're really dealing with a problem for your dog. It's not just a fun lipstick or luxury item that you might enjoy. So we were really intentional about whether the UGC we use, our brand ambassadors, the partnerships we've taken on, ensuring that fits to a larger narrative.
There's so many factors at play when you're launching and you secure this great investor relationship. On the flip side, you also invested in conferences and events. And I know that Super Zoo was such a great launching point for you. When founders are evaluating what kind of opportunities and events they should invest in to network, what do you think they should keep in mind?
Great question. And I've connected to a number of founders in the space who are always trying to decide, God, can I spend the money? Is it worth showing up? So Super Zoo is this big, you know, it's the pet conference in Las Vegas in August of every year. We went the year before we had the brand launch just to see everything. And it was really important. Like, I left that maybe a little critical, saying, I don't see it being terribly innovative. I don't see interesting ingredients outside of the norm. How could we as our brand be the change we wanted to see the next year? And I knew we built something great and people can love packaging or their ahi flower story or whatever specific adjective that differentiates the noun, right? But like at the end of the day, we were vulnerable. We're nervous. We set up a great booth. We committed to it for the next year. It was expensive, but I knew we had a good product, but now I need to go present that to the world. And it's a good chance to sort of analyze the delta between where you think you'll be and where you are. And knowing like, okay, great, you show up once. So many brands are a flash in the pan to get this and have unrealistic expectations as for what that's going to do immediately. Everything is a long-term period and it's just about like delaying that gratification, kind of knowing what you're getting into. So we show up and we were there every day. I had the whole team. We use as a chance to get everyone together. Our team is based throughout the country. I'm consultant heavy, number of agencies. It was a good chance to see it all in real light. And we were really proud of the results. But from that, you kind of work with what you have, right? We met a number of retailers and got incredible feedback and ended up hiring our broker dealers from the trip and made a number of connections that I'm now following up to this day that have been really helpful as we launch, you know, retail planning and build out into that network. We do have some people on the team who've come from the pet world, but there are a lot of us who are outside of it. So now we need to ingratiate ourselves with a pretty tight-knit community where it's pretty tough for new brands to make noise. A lot of people have moved into pet, and I speak of the human beauty standards. I'm not making lipstick for a dog. I'm thinking of this, the way in which you build a brand from really like a management style of like beauty and CPG brands work within this well, from the ingredients, manufacturing, and testing. So now we need to go meet everyone and find that right place within the space. It ended up being very successful. I'm so thankful, But it's not about going once. We need to go again and continually show up and realize that you're playing against the competition that's larger than you, right? And it's scary. A good friend who's a founder of a really great brand and pet just came back from Global Pet. She had an opportunity. I'm like, no, you show up, leave your comfort zone, meet people, be out there. Two or three things could lead you somewhere else, but it's that cumulative value that goes. So I always feel like what I'm feeling down or reticent or nervous is when you need to double down. I'm also probably really naive and good about just like putting blinders on. And that kind of gets you through those dark points as you continue. Because if you think the success is a linear route, like you're crazy, it's always going to be something all over the board. It's about knowing that you have something good and sticking with that and not just judging it at that instantaneous point. So Super Zoo was great. And we just got back from Global Pet and that was really helpful. And you need to show up to these community events and build people, especially if you have a new DTC brand and you're trying to get more involved within an industry. It's the time that everyone's going to be there and be open. And but also, like, did I have crazy orders come from one thing? No. But are there three relationships that will be built that will determine the next 6 months of our brand? For sure. And I think the beauty of that is being open to seeing where that will lead.
Yeah. I think what I take away from that is growth is never going to be just a straight hockey stick up. And a lot of the times, if we do take steps back, sideways, we need to still be motivated because it realigns us to move forward. And it's okay to not feel like we're constantly on an upward trajectory. And you do talk about, you know, coming into this new industry with your experience in beauty. How do you take the creativity and the inspiration and the experience from beauty, but still making sure that, you know, pet owners are feeling welcomed and interested in what you're creating?
Well, that's a great question. Thank you. Especially with beauty and aspects of that in luxury fashion, or where I was in luxury beauty, is definitely it's the brands that smile versus don't smile, right? There's like the Balenciaga and all that you don't smile, where like, you know, lower end you do. The whole point of Wagwell, it's happiness and wellness. It's like together we keep them wagging and well. It's the dog. Like this is one thing that transcends class, age, politics, religion, everything. Everyone loves their dog. So as much as we've put good effort into beautiful design and an approach, it's really important that when you land that, it's not just trying to be some really expensive dog fragrance or type of literal beauty bit. No, we want it to be something that's positive and fun. I mean, look at your social media feeds anyway. What a few things I have left, maybe it's just my own algorithm, are dogs that I trust more than human followers, right? They become sort of a point of joy. And it's imperative that I think you land that there because it's easy to, you know, get caught up in what it is we're building. But at the end of the day, it's about improving the lives of the pets. And, you know, we're seeing the results that come from that. If you look at how millennials and Gen Z, which is 51% of pet owners, now purchase product over the past couple of decades, we've learned to be more discerning about ingredient lists and call outs and the way that we're thinking about what we're ingesting, whether it's beauty or food or however we buy, that's transferred onto the pet. And we're seeing a lot of brands move there. I think with Wagwell, it's imperative that we meet the customer where they are. And while actually we did a really fun photo shoot in Palm Springs and we're having fun with that on social, and we're definitely higher end for a premium product, but we land that cost around all of our competition. And we want to present that in a way that's like clever, but funny, but engaging. But you can still do that while being taken seriously. And I always say you can be approachable without compromising integrity. I've definitely found to channel that within the pet space more so than where I've been in the past.
Yeah. And I think like having that beauty experience is also really beneficial because you understand the practices of standards and testing, which you prioritize and bring into the pet space. What about that process that you've done differently to kind of enhance even more?
Look, great question. Thank you. It's been really tough. It'd be really easy for us to launch the standard wipe that 95% of the manufacturers make. No one needs another dog wipe. If I'm going to go do that, we need to ensure it's different and better from what's on the market, which is our mission. And luckily, my head of product and I are traveling around the country trying to force almost square peg round hole on how we'll get these ingredients, these call outs, the pH balance to match the dog to make a skincare claim that will actually work, that we'll then test and then speak to. It's not about making the good product. It's how you're channeling that. And I always say like every product needs to have 3 points of difference on a low end of the funnel when advertising. That if it's like, again, if you don't need another brand, if you're going to do it, that's the marrow we're building to be able to differentiate, knowing when you'll buy Wagwell down the road, that it's going to have something that's good in there. And it's not about overcomplicating that either. You want it to be simple and straightforward, but building that trust. To get the manufacturers to make it, it's tough. We're a new brand. We don't have the quantities that any of my competition does. And that makes it difficult even on pricing, but we do have that innovation. And luckily, you know, Susan from my team is a world-class product developer who's come from Chanel and L'Oreal and worked with me at my contract manufacturer in the past, who has really good relationships where people have taken on projects from us because they know that she's worked on many brands you would know and will deliver. So that's been really helpful. The two biggest things for the new brand are to be able to own and figure out your manufacturing process and even engage within the retail space. So I'm thankful to have her alongside me as we speak to these places. The fun part too is a lot of these manufacturers are getting into pet. We're almost late to the game. But to me, it's like, well, how do we make it different and better? And it's a lot of effort and physical meetings. And because, you know, we're real people behind a brand. It's important you show who you are and everything's a long-term relationship. So it's better to start that from a good foot, aligned from the beginning. It makes your life much easier later on. But beauty is interesting because of how you build the brand, how you test that, how you, you know, from forecasting to retail planning, it's all similar. And our whole team has good experience, not just in beauty, but working for brands of different sizes and launching that, because it's very new to launch something versus where you are 10 years down the line. And it's really important. I don't need a million good products. I need a few very good ones. We're very intentional about how we're innovating on that. Like, we've wanted food from the very beginning, but to be a new food brand from scratch is near impossible. So we built that through supplements and then treats, and it's been innovating, and then other aspects of grooming that help other terms, so we could amalgamate all of that when we get to food with a formulation that is just beautiful. And I'm really proud of that it's different, but you need all of that, right? And it's not, here I am focused so much on product. Now it's, how are you placing it? How are you cutting through the noise to get that traffic brought to even your DTC or Amazon or any of the wholesale partners? The spend is real. And like, while hope, I always say hope is not a strategy. We definitely have it. It's there and you got to plan for it. There needs to be a much larger thought process in that. And I've been the brand before that, you know, you build things through connections and there's that slow planning. We have tremendous growth goals and we don't let those compromise the planning, but it's really important you're looking at that through like a 360 lens.
Hope is not a strategy, but it's definitely a very important component. The way that you develop these products in the order that they happen is really interesting, because I would assume maybe you would have started with food because that's something that pets need every day. Why did you decide to start with supplements?
Because I think it informed that we could actually do it. Food's really expensive and really complicated. And I worked on our formulation with our vet nutritionists and food scientists for, gosh, at least a year and more than that. And they made the third most difficult recipe they've ever done, they said. And it's simple, but it's about getting all of that out there. I didn't know how well that would resonate. And food is one of the few things I've barely changed with my dog, right? That's a big, big spend and thought process to get there. So it's important, like, supplements are part of a space of problem solution. They're ingesting. We built these single ingredient freeze-dried treats. They're incredible. Like, we have these cheese treats that are great. I'm from Wisconsin, so maybe it even hits home differently, but they're really cute, real Wisconsin cheddar. But that's dogs ingesting that and trusting it and seeing that it's working and it's a good product and that they trust and believe us, and we've built that community. So it's a natural progression into food. But even like with grooming, that sounds disparate. It's not. We made a product that's like a wax protector. It's called our paw protector, based off of something that's famous in the market that's all mineral oil. Well, we have a wax guy and we had him remake that with all natural waxes and oils and present that instead of in a hot pour, a beautiful Propel Repel stick that you would use for yourself that I made from a manufacturer that's makes half of the makeup at Sephora with really good standards. And then we got the first canine microbiome friendly seal, which was new in pet, but is kind of already becoming a very well-known part of beauty. So it's like, we'll make a really good product. Now we'll position this and take these claims. Let's see how the market responds to that. Because while they're not eating it, the dog can ingest, and it's about being safe and it's about building that trust. So all of these things amalgamate into, is food worthwhile? Like, of course we wanted to do it. It's so expensive. It's a big risk. That will be a lot of our marketing dollars. I'd love to be able to spend and talk about everything all the time, but you need to prioritize that given, you know, fixed resources. So I'm really optimistic And the packaging and the story, it's all really fun. And that's the fun part you want to be able to channel. But I always say, like, you play jazz after you've learned classical. Like, we need to, like, learn the rules, learn the space, build the part first, and then we can tap into it. And, you know, it's fun to A-B test different ad campaigns and concepts. We happen to love humor. Like, we're partnered with Claudia Oshry, who's at Girl With No Job. She has the Toast podcast. We brought her on as a brand ambassador to help cut through the noise and speak to her. She's hilarious. And we wanted to speak to comedy and stuff in a way that will engage with the dog, especially in social. And she's been a great partner. And I think it's important to tap into that, right? But I'm jumping around, but relatedly on food, we wanted to start from it, but I think you need to meet the customer where they are and build into it. And that won't be the last thing we're doing, but each of these products has not just given data, but a perspective on where our customer is and what they're looking for. So now we're feeling really confident to launch that.
I think it sounds like you are truly trying to meet the customers where they are. And to your point, food is a really hard category to convince someone to go out of their routine, take a risk, and change their pet's diet versus all of the other products that you're innovating on are so interesting. I think it kind of makes me question how you balance how you innovate and also seeing if the customer is ready for it, especially with the way that you describe the wax. It sounds so cool, like something that I would see in beauty, but how do you ensure that a pet owner is ready for that and is willing to try it?
I think that comes down to the marketing and the messaging and, you know, simple, like low level us versus them. Here are the points of difference. Be very clear and transparent about the ingredients and what you're trying to solve. And then everything's a slow build, right? And then it hits and we're still new. We're seeing real growth in it. We're excited that that paw protector became my number one product in 3 months. Well, our new brand, we did not expect that. And you want to go deeper and build into that without cannibalizing. So it's why we're launching other products in the category, which we'd always planned on. But some of that shifts in response to the data and how you and where you sell it. You know, we sell more supplements on our DTC than we have on Amazon, which has other products. All of them are doing well, but it's because of messaging and how we've chosen to build community and speak to people about a message that requires, you know, more of a sell, more detail about product innovation. So different formats allow for different spaces in that. Same with food. Sometimes it's in bricks and mortar, your indie pet stores, and it hits, but you still need your ourwagwellpet.com to be that home and setting for the brand storefront in all detail. We're actually, you know, I don't say rebuilding, but building onto the website. We had an initial part for launch. Everything's iterative. We have so much more data on how we can inform PDPs and all the detail. And it's not about all those bells and whistles, but we felt the next few months we're, you know, rebuilding that to prepare so it can be even stronger. And that never ends, right? It's an asymptote. But I think you can build where appropriate to better tell that story. And everything takes resources and time. And I think you just need to balance, which we're going through. And it's a constant conversation with my investors and our team about like how we're prioritizing product. It's expensive. And as a small brand, you have to buy into that early on. But we put a lot of effort forth. As fun as it is too, like everyone on the team has dogs. And just because I'm a pet parent doesn't mean I'm the customer. Like the fun part, when we turned this on, we were selling to everyone. And like, just from my own past, it was so crazy. I had a luxury beauty brand and I live in New York and it was like New York, LA, all what you'd think it is in the US. And this is truly everywhere. And it's like, that can be paralyzing. But we did so much research to speak to a particular demographic. We felt it was important then to place ads and build into that without alienating older or younger people. So like we believed in this, you know, Gen Z millennial pet parent that's developing and growing. A lot of our social and ads and stuff are geared toward that, but there's no reason my mother can't be buying this. And I wanted to not only choose branding and messaging and ads that maybe aren't directed to her, but also that won't alienate, right? And I think that becomes this point which I mentioned earlier of that being approachable, but we put as much intention into the product as we do to our branding. And that's what I love and that's what I come from and enjoy. And we're really trying to have fun with it. And that's the whole fun part of pet. Like it is fun. Like there's a number of people. It's nice to have a team you get to build from scratch. And believe me, we have our challenges. We're still a David amongst Goliaths. There's a lot of new entrants in the pet space. I have, you know, talk about hope and a prayer. That's what we're building on for the year alongside a lot of planning and strategic work. So all of it's required and let's see what hits, right? It's about being humble enough to have an idea, but also know that it might not be what you think and to be ready to react to that appropriately.
Well, how exciting though, right? Pet is such a unifier where you do appeal to everyone, like you said. And yeah, it is an exciting time. And also speaking to the fact that you do feel like you are a tiny player in this huge industry, it is incredible to get the partnerships with manufacturers that you did. What advice do you have for founders who might be intimidated? They're going into their first production run, or they're just trying to get people on board with their idea to actually establish those partnerships?
Great question. I think necessity is the mother of invention, and it's putting yourself in a position where that hits. I was speaking to another ex-beauty editor who's trying to launch a brand, and we were talking about like how far she should make this investment. And it's like enough that you can prove that you're going and you're there and this is happening. And it's putting those blinders and it's engaging with people that you very quickly tap into why you built this and why it's different and all that work. So it's like clarity doesn't come from planning. It comes from doing. I think you need to put yourself in a position to go forward, trust in yourself, do the work, but then be prepared to, you know, respond appropriately. But you can't have analysis paralysis in everything you're doing. So it's really important that if someone has something new, they kind of go with it and get started. Don't let perfect be the enemy of good. Land the plane. You can iterate on that. Whether that's packaging design, whether that's ingredients in the formulation, there's still good there. There's value. Go take that. Take that as far as you can and push and then, you know, move where appropriate. But that won't, and you can try as hard as you want in advance to plan for it, but really need to just kind of launch and see where it takes you. And there's humility in that because like everyone has this expectation, but then reality hits and it's never in the way that you would expect. And that's happened to me at multiple brands, but we've been, and we've worked through it. And the fun part is to remember that this is a period of growth. Like here I am. I mean, honestly, like we have big growth goals. We have a lot of plans this year of spending money. Our 3PL called me last week because they're like, wow, your brand's one that's really hit. Like we knew you from the start. We didn't know it would be anything. It was amazing to hear they're like, you know, with the amount of, you know, support they're putting on for us to actually push through all the orders. They're like, you're the one that's going to be, and we've given the space. I almost sometimes don't even realize it because I'm really focused on what we're not doing and trying to improve. But you also need to take time and be respectful and appreciate the team and where we've gotten from in a year and where we are and where we want to go. And it's a process. But they're about to start something and launch. I think it's imperative that you kind of just own your story and go with it. Because everyone can talk about the planning and the strategy and it's necessary, but the action is where it all happens. And you'll know quickly what you didn't do and where you need to go. I think it's necessary.
Be a little vulnerable, be who you are, try the things and see what works out. One of the things that you've actually decided on very deliberately is actually not using celebrity endorsements. You have mentioned, you know, working with creators like Girl With No Job. You've also focused on the product efficacy and also the ingredients. Why this approach? Like, what is it about this approach that you really wanted to implement?
So it was really at launch, we really deliberated between, you know, there's a number of celebrities that will bring noise to a brand through social and cut through it immediately and develop that following. And that's a tried and true game in beauty. In pet, it seems a little less so. And I think it's required. There's people who have it. I'm sure many other brands are successful. We knew that we were really focused on innovation and we needed funding for that. We'd rather take a longer approach to building a brand, knowing we're making a better product than spending that money on whatever person to come along as a founder who maybe I hadn't found the right one, wouldn't be the right person for that, wouldn't really solve the bigger issue. We knew with Wagwell, it was about Wagwell and the brand and the story. So we started that quietly and built. Now, we partnered with Goop last year as our first big partner. It was fantastic. And I'm really thankful they took us because they were aligned with Innovative Ingredients and Modern Wellness, which is a brand I was building in that. And it was a test and to put some in stores and see if it even responds. Luckily, like, gosh, the treats continually sold out every time we placed them in. It was fantastic. And it was nice to get that credibility, which you get, which in theory is, you know, like it. But I didn't do that from the launch. Maybe it would have been faster for us, but it felt important. We were coming out of nowhere. We weren't known. We need to prove that efficacy and talk about that ingredient story and why we're differentiating. For the same reason we worked with Goop to create that story, we needed to build and see that first before they would get on board. And then it builds from there. So we've been really fortunate to partner with, I think, really cool partners. And even bringing on Claudia is fantastic. We're really thankful for it. Who is a big, you know, is a celebrity. which we brought later on to help work with that as a brand ambassador. And I think it's important that she speaks to her community meaningfully, which she does, which is our ideal demo, and it's a natural fit. So I'm thankful to have her as a partner on this and our other partners. We have We Rate Dogs as a huge partner as well. It's an Instagram media account, actually full everywhere, and who've been tremendous partners to us, which are not, you know, Matt runs it. It's a place and not a person. That's helped us cut through the noise and speak to the demographic and build that. But really, it's at the end of the day, we're trying to make it about Wagwell and a very long-term plan. And so much of what I knew from Human Beauty was a big celebrity would have something, kind of a flash in the pan that was more about them. And we wanted to build this differently so it wasn't X person's brand versus something that's, hey, my dog's itching and this is a problem. Hey, you have a lot of colostrum in your allergy and itch supplement. I really wanted to focus on that part of it and build that community more meaningfully.
Well, it sounds like you wanted to establish Wagwell's own brand and also like make sure that customers understand what it stood for, which I think I want to bring back to our kind of therapy side of things before we close off the show, because I think for such a long time, direct-to-consumer is all about disrupting an industry, and it's getting harder to do that with just rising digital advertising costs, the toughness of actually getting investments nowadays. What would you say to founders who are trying to go into a more established industry and they're wanting to do something new, but it feels like the current is kind of pushed against them?
Look, costs of DTC are crazy. It's not profitable. It's terrifying. And you need to add in, you know, whether it's direct mail or affiliate or your SMS or your email planning and all of that's necessary to build your community. So you have to have it. You can't just omit it at the very beginning. And I think luckily, I think Amazon's really important now. In response to a DTC brand, to just, people will Google it, they'll look at the credibility, they'll look at the reviews, you play them in concert together. Or if it's Chewy for Pet or some other space, you want that secondary bit because it's sometimes a different product focus, it's good data. I would divide between the two of them, and it's, you have to have something on DTC, but it's not the same spend. We all look back at like a pre-2014 world of happiness because there was a real arbitrage opportunity. That's gone. But you can't also not have a storefront. If you're trying to get funding and show the brand and tell the story, you need to be able to have it. So it's about starting out humbly, having a singular focus, solving as much as you can for the soft power sort of about us, why, easy, simple opportunity to build, but also do so alongside another platform. Even Amazon, you can't just build Amazon on Amazon. That's a repository for like noise. It's a barometer from all the other stuff you're making that will naturally go there anyway, right? So don't fight against it. Divide your product approach and story to know they require different strategies, but you can no longer rely on a simple DTC brand to make that all happen. And sadly, a lot of it now is omnichannel and going to bricks and mortar, depending on what your product is. Like, it'd be much, you know, it's so much easier to have software as a service or some scalable tech thing in some venture portfolio, but consumer packaged good brands require a long build and it's real. So it's not easy. And I, believe me, would love to spend so much more on our DTC and do a million things. We're not where we want to be. I don't think anyone really is, speaking of that honestly. But it's like, what three things can we build upon? How do we do it well? How do we do it meaningfully and take it from there? So it's always unfinished and it's a constant build. But and we fluctuated on what we spend for it as well, because gosh, it's crazy and it's out of control. And I think we're going to see a reset in that. But you can't only have your brand on Amazon at this point either. You need to be able to speak to whether it's social and the community build and all the other pieces you're going to, when funded, need to tap into, start planting those seeds early and working on it, even if it doesn't require as much spend.
Growth is so multifaceted and there are so many levers you have to play around with. Well, I'm so grateful to have you here today, Bill, to share your story and so excited to see how Wagwell will grow even more.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Shopify Masters is produced by Gogo Zoger and Alicia Clark. Our engineers are Miku Betlam and Matt Schwartz. And I'm your host, Shuang Esther Shan. We are here every Tuesday and Thursday, also on YouTube, for video episodes. Until next time, thank you so much.